listening to The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to innovators and policymakers on how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Gloria Nzeka. While conducting research at the University of Illinois, Yulia Bella-Bravo and Barry Pittendry, now faculty members at Michigan State University, joined a team of researchers in the Feed the Future Innovation Lab in coming up with a solution to fight destructive insects that threaten cowpea harvests in West Africa. But getting that information into the hands of farmers presented a challenge of its own. Seeing the rapid growth of mobile technology in Africa, Yulia and Barry saw an opportunity to disseminate educational content through short videos that could be downloaded on a mobile phone. That initiative resulted in the creation of a project called Scientific Animations Without Borders. Today, the Scientific Animation Without Borders mobile application carries educational content in many African local languages, covering topics in agriculture, health, and women empowerment. Yulia and Barry join us in today's episode of The Food Fix to discuss their work. Yulia and Barry, welcome to The Food Fix.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I want to start by finding out, how did the project start?
So both of us were working under a research grant from the previous Legume Innovation Lab, Feed the Future Legume Innovation Lab, that was the management entity was based here at Michigan State University, but there were subcontracts to other institutions, and we had one of those particular projects looking at challenges of how to deal with insect pests on cowpea in sub-Saharan West Africa. So the collaborations that we had with other groups, they had great solutions, but the challenge was, how could we get those solutions out into people's hands? So Julia had started a program called Scientific Animation Without Borders, which fed into this program that ultimately allowed us to take solutions back into farmers in their own languages.
With the project, you've worked in Benin and in a few other West African countries. How was the experience on the ground?
Yes. So we work in many, many West African countries. And we started in West Africa first, because this is where the funding was for. But then we expand to other countries in East Africa and West Africa. So we work in Niger, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Benin, Ghana, even Mali. This is where we work. We started working there. And then we have other groups that work in Mozambique and Uganda. So this other group that was also part of the Legume Innovation Lab, they include me in their grant. So then I work in Uganda and Mozambique, and with the same idea and the same project, Scientific Animation Without Borders. So right now we have more than 50 countries where this program is used. And we have around 100 languages, local languages, for all these countries. So this means that, you know, all these materials are in all these languages and people can use at any time they want. And the idea is to bring the information and knowledge to people in rural areas that they don't have access, or they have like less access than urban areas. So bring this information to them through the mobile cell phones.
Wow. Before we learn more about the animation part of the content, Barry, you mentioned that the Feed the Future Legume Innovation Lab has changed quite a bit from when it started. What has been the change?
So Michigan State University has had really leadership role in legume systems for close to four decades now. It first started with a program called the Bean Cowpea Crisp. Actually, I was a student in somebody's lab who had funding from that many, many, many years ago. So I was very familiar with that program. And then it morphed into several other programs with different names. But the last program was called the Legume Innovation Lab, which again was managed by Michigan State University. And this past year, we recompeted for what's called the Legume Systems Research Innovation Lab. So Michigan State University will continue to take that leadership role in global legume research moving forward. So this scientific MHTOP board has got its start in the last phase of this program, and a lot of the experimental work that was done by the team was based on funding from that program, and it was around issues of and a lot of this was the field work that Julia's team did around issues associated with learning gain studies, adoption studies, looking at how the animations would impact people using given techniques in the field. So a lot of that work was done both in West Africa and in Mozambique and Uganda.
Speaking of the scientific animation without borders, Julia, what was the first language that you started with?
Yes, so this program was launched in 2011, and I think, for what I recall, the first animation was after earthquake happened in Haiti. So we knew we have to do something about that, right? And we were in Illinois at that time, so there was no way we could travel to Haiti and help in any way. So this is why we decided to start our first animation. It was how to treat water to prevent cholera. This is the first animation. And so for what I remember, of course, we have to first English, and then it was translated into French for Haiti and then other local languages. So that was the first animation. Then we decided that, you know, this animation was very important, and it was translated into many, many different languages. So we have many languages, not only for Haiti, but for many other countries in, you know, Latin America, in Africa, even Asia. And then we incorporate other core areas to our program, not only like health, but also agriculture and women empowerment.
That's amazing. Barry, what has been some of the challenges that you face implementing the Innovation Lab project in West Africa or even other regions of Africa?
I guess I'll speak to maybe what are the opportunities. So I think one of the things that was very fortunate when we began to be involved in this is there was massive changes occurring in the internet, in people's access to cell phones. And it was just we were fortunate to be on the ground working in the field with our collaborators in West Africa and getting out into to interacting directly with farmers and seeing the challenges, what were the sort of pathways to deliver knowledge that might be possible moving forward into the future. And that was a real it was a fantastic opportunity. And we could see the movement of change in the marketplace of people gaining access to cell phones first, and then video capable and Bluetooth cell phones, and in the last several years, this explosion of smartphones. And I think that was the challenge was how are we going to deploy the information at the beginning, but the opportunity was ultimately there were these incredible changes occurring, and when we first began. Internet access wasn't the best, even where we were at, it wasn't the best. And in North America, you're really very much stuck to your computer at the office. But the massive changes that came allowed it to make it much easier to work with people globally. And I just give you one example of a collaborator we worked with in Ethiopia, where we had a particular animation, and he wanted it in Amharic. So we were sitting at lunch, and we had the sheet that he could translate, and he literally just recorded each of the fragments on his phone and then emailed it back to the person at Illinois that would do the voiceover. So after lunch, he was able to do the translations, email it off of his phone, somebody in Illinois, they did the voiceovers, and the next day was approved and up in the system. So challenges always bring opportunities.
What are some of the next steps that you perhaps are contemplating or working on right now?
So I think one of the exciting thing that's happening right now is one of the big problems that's hitting Africa is a pest species called fall armyworm, which is impacting maize crops. So it's a very horrific scenario because it has real impacts on crops, and the pest species moves very rapidly. So we've been contacted by several large international organizations about creating content around this, so farmers would know how to identify the pest species and how to scout. So because of the need to get this information out, we're able to move very rapidly and work with these organizations to put it in numerous languages and then get this out the door. So this was completed in a very, very short period of time this last spring. It's already being placed in multiple languages, and those organizations are really doing that deployment. So I think there are real opportunities to connect with a lot of other global organizations that can then take those things and use them, especially in sort of in this situation, sort of crisis situation. This is we're well structured to help respond to that from an educational perspective.
And Julia, do you want to add something?
Yes, I just also want to add that, you know, the opportunity to grow more in Africa is the explosion of internet and cell phone. So, you know, creating educational materials that can be downloaded and watched in cell phones and shared through Bluetooth technologies is really an opportunity that allowed us to grow and to expand in other African countries.
Where could people go who are interested right now if they're listening to you and say, hey, I'm a farmer and I want to get access to that content? What's the process?
So oftentimes we have these sort of intermediary groups. So there's about an estimated 10 million NGOs globally. Even if you knock 10 off of that, a million globally is a lot. And that doesn't include all the government organizations, intergovernmental organizations. Our approach really has been to create content that those folks that are working in the field can easily grab those materials and then take them easily out into the field. So those organizations can easily download it from the website. There's an app a Sabo app that's completely free that allows people to, when they're online, they can choose the topic, the language, the accent they may want, and then which country they're in. And it'll narrow down the list to what we have available. They can download it, and then when they're out in the field, they can either transfer it to other phones by Bluetooth or just show it to people. So as you ask about, do we have it in French, we have it in numerous accents from different countries in French. Wow. So people can choose the accent they want.
That's amazing. Is there any content that you're currently developing at the moment?
Yes. So right now we are working on different languages for the fall armyworm. And also we are working on, we have like different videos on tuberculosis. So we are again like expanding on more languages for these videos.
And there's two new animations coming up around prevention of post-harvest loss. One is on how to minimize mycotoxins in stored grains. And another one deals with how to properly dry grains. So there's two that are coming up, and we're exploring new types of collaborations with groups in Mali as well around animations that go beyond sort of the classic boundaries that we worked in, but deal with issues of educating kids and how to interact with each other, et cetera, in challenging situations. So,
like a peace-building approach. So we are working with a group here on campus that have funding to work in Mali, and they have created a book for children in the school, for teachers and children in the school, and we are going to animate this book. It's on peace-building reconstruction.
So we're very excited to be working with this other team at MSU. The work they're doing is extremely impressive, so we're very happy to be involved with them.
Everybody should hear what you are doing. There are a lot of people who really benefit from the work that you do. In the grand scheme of things, how do you see your work helping with issues of hunger all across the world?
There's oftentimes very simple solutions that can help minimize loss in the field and post-harvest loss, and minimize problems sometimes with food when it gets to before it gets to the plate. So the intent of the program has always been around how to take those simple solutions and make it accessible to people. Because one interesting study that Julia's team had done in Mozambique was simple use of jerry cans that were available in everybody's households, how could you store grains in order to minimize loss? And it's just a matter of sometimes just giving people that spark of an idea that's out there that they just haven't classically had access to, and then they can run with it. So the point is ultimately to make knowledge as accessible as possible, and that has some real potential to impact multiple aspects of food chains.
Last question for Julia. What made you go into this field? What drives you? What's your passion?
Well, this field is my passion. So, you know, I had been working in African countries for a long, long time, and I never get tired. I feel when I am there working with people, I feel like at home. So I want to continue working in African countries and, you know, do the best I can.
And Barry, any last word you would like to add?
I guess this is, to sort of put this all in context, this is really about how can we reach out and work with people globally, because there's numerous people that contribute to making these animations. Their expertise, we rely on a lot of global experts to contribute their time as volunteers, and then we rely on a lot of volunteers to put it into new languages, and then we rely on many groups around the world to deploy and use it in their program. So I guess we always have to thank everybody that's been involved, because it's a really giant team of people.
And Julia, any other contribution from your side?
Going back to the previous question that Betty answered about how to address hunger and food security, our program try to follow the Sustainable Development Goals, and many of our animations kind of fall into the same category, how to address hunger and food security in developing countries. So I just wanted to add that we try to keep the same goals. So I just wanted to add that, and it has been great to be here with you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for being interested in knowing more about our program and how it related to food security and hunger. I think that is very important.
Oh, it certainly is. For me personally, I'm glad I got to discover about your work, and I'm sure our audience would feel the same. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
If you have questions or comments, you want to learn more about the Scientific Animations Without Borders mobile application, send us an email to foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. Or you could leave your comments in the comment sections below this post. The Food Fix is a production of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism at Michigan State University. I'm Gloria Nzeka. Thank you for listening.